So the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought a donkey and the colt, and they put on their cloak, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread out their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the tree and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him, and they followed, and they were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirring up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." When I look at the triumphal entry, I see that this was a day of proclamation. This was a day of giving testimony of who Jesus was. Something was happening, and people could see it, and they were proclaiming that this is Jesus, they proclaim. He is the prophet from Nazarene of Galilee. And what we do here this morning when we do 5 for 5, it is a proclamation, it is a testimony of who Jesus is. Much like what it was here, there was this crying out, and we sang Hosanna, and we have worshiped God, and we have had fun worshiping God. And then there is this testimony that comes. So the psalm I have that I wanted to lead us in and to look at, if I could just have that back up, Jason. There we are. Psalm 71, verses 15 and 16. It reads like this. "My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge." Isn't that so great? Like, each one of us sitting here has a testimony about God. And we don't even have enough time for you all to share your testimony. And then it says, "With the mighty deeds of the Lord, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone." And that's what a testimony is, this crying out of sharing of God's mighty deeds that he has done in our life. And they come from different ways and different forms. And I am looking forward to hearing what God has to share with us this morning. So somebody had to go first. And I said to Hannah, "Well, the nice part about going first, Hannah, is that you're done. You don't have to sit there and go, 'Oh, I still got to come. When am I up? So I've asked Hannah, as one of the Kaleo students, to share a little bit about, hey, what has God done in your life? And anyways, the mic. Behind, thank you. There it is. No, you don't have to. All right. There you go. Perfect. You're on.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Like Pastor Scott said, my name's Hannah. I'm from Fredericton, New Brunswick. And this year, I came all the way out here and had the privilege of being a part of the Kaleo program. So if you don't know what Kaleo is, or you're unfamiliar, or you need a refresher, it is a one-year, first-year university program that runs as a partnership between Camp Kwanos and Briarcrest University in Saskatchewan. And it runs from September to April, and throughout those 8 months, we get to take part in ministry opportunities, like attending and serving at a church as great as Ocean View. And we get to live in community, go on a bunch of cool adventures. We went backpacking, surfing, sailing. We've gone caving. We just got back from a 3-day kayaking trip. We also take a full year of first-year university courses, and then also have leadership training all throughout the program. So, needless to say, it has been a very busy year, but it has also been so incredible. When I first came to Kaleo back in September, I was so nervous about what the year was going to look like, but from the minute I got there, my nerves were put at ease. I got settled in pretty quickly into the community at Camp Kwanos, which was good because we really hit the ground running with Kaleo and jump in as soon as we get there. We have done so much in such a short span of time that it's really hard to sum everything up into just one thing that I'm going to take from this year. Throughout all the adventures, opportunities, challenges, God's always been working and has taught me so much. And there has been a lot of aspects of the year that have really pushed me. But one that sticks out specifically to me is our missions trip. So this year, in February, half of our class went to Guatemala. Jen was on that trip. And they got to run camp program, work with kids, and serve in that kind of way. And then the other half of our class, so me, Isabel, and JJ were on that trip, we went to East Vancouver. And we volunteered our time on East Hastings, and we were working with organizations that partnered and helped with people struggling with substance abuse and homelessness. And back in October, we had a week of prayer and leadership where we were really praying about which trip we were feeling called to. And even prior to Kaleo, I was feeling pretty called to Vancouver. I didn't know why, because Vancouver was so outside of my comfort zone. And I cannot emphasize that enough. Guatemala sounded great. That was where I was comfortable, was with kids doing camp program. I have experience there. That's my thing. I like that kind of stuff. And Vancouver was about as far away from my comfort zone as I could possibly get. But just through conversations I had with people before coming out here, and then even after arriving and praying through it, I really felt strongly that I was supposed to go to Vancouver. So when it came time for us to sign up, I put my name in for Vancouver. And then we fast forward to February, when it was time for us to leave for our trips. I was so unbelievably nervous. Leading up to it, I was nervous about what was going to happen, what it was going to be like, if I was like going to be safe in that environment. I'd never done street ministry before. I'd never worked with that demographic of people. I had no idea what to expect, and it made me so nervous. And then throughout the trip, once I got there, I was consistently doing things that scared me. However, I noticed that as it came time for me to do them, I was not nervous anymore. And I was instantly put at ease. My nerves were gone. I was so nervous to share my testimony at one of the services we were running at a church on East Hastings. And by the time I got up there, I was instantly put at ease and I wasn't nervous anymore. I was so nervous for street ministry. Never done that before. That was scary. But the time came when we were going out to pray for people, share the gospel, and hand out food on the streets, and I wasn't nervous, and I found myself just approaching random people I'd never met before and asking them if I could pray for them, which is crazy thinking about it, looking back. But I wasn't nervous, and that is without a doubt all God's work. I was constantly in prayer throughout that trip, praying that God would help me, come alongside me, and He really did that, and I got to see and experience that. I was doing things that scared me so much, but I had a peace that could only come from God. And throughout the missions trip and the rest of this year, it really taught me a deep reliance on God that I have never experienced before. And he's showed me that he's given me a greater capacity to do hard things than I had previously thought. Just this past week, like I mentioned, our class went on our final out trip, the 3-day kayak trip. And on that trip, we all were writing letters to our future selves. Just about like what this year looked like, what we wanted to remember, what stuck out to us. And as I was writing to myself, I noticed that consistent theme of me being afraid of something and then God showing me that I didn't have a reason to fear. And surprisingly, none of the things I was afraid of had to do with like the out trips we were doing. I was fine to backpack a mountain, fine to jump off the top of a sailboat into the ocean, fine to crawl through a really small space in a cave. But it was the things like classes, the silent retreat we did in September, and things like the missions trip that I just talked about. Yet, in every single circumstance, God continued to show me that I had nothing to fear. Even though it was hard to control the way I was feeling, God showed me that those feelings weren't necessary and that he was walking in step with me every single step of the way. In moments on the missions trip where I found myself in a particularly scary or uncomfortable environment, I got in the habit of praying this little breath prayer that was like, God, I'm doing this with you and I'm doing this for you. And I found that really helped realign my thoughts to that God was with me in this uncomfortable and new scary circumstance, and that ultimately all of those feelings were worth it because I was doing it to honor him. And a verse that I've really held on to this year is 2 Timothy 1:7, and I really like how it's worded in the New King James Version specifically. I know someone young likes the New King James Version. It's crazy. But it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And God really has proven this verse to be true to me this year. Throughout the last 8 months, he has really shown me that he has not given me a spirit of fear, but he has equipped me with power and love and the ability to have a sound mind through him. And it has been a big lesson to learn, but I am so thankful for every way that God showed it to me. And it's something that's going to stick with me long after Kaleo is done. Speaking of which, our Kaleo graduation is this Thursday on April 17th at 3 p.m. And JJ, Isabel, Jen, and I have all been given a bunch of invitations to give to you guys. So if you are interested and want to come see our grad, see and learn more of what Kaleo is like, meet some more people in our class, I have a bunch of invitations, so you can come find me after the service, and I will give you one that has more info if you are interested in that. But yeah, that's kind of a little bit of what my year's been like and what I've learned. Thank you guys.
Thank you very much, Hannah, and I'm glad that your parents let you come. Well, it wouldn't be right if it just was all us, and so I've asked that somebody from the Jesus is Lord Church to share. And Cherry, somehow you volunteered. So, are you both coming up? So you're going to be the support. So if you don't know this, this is, come on up. This is Cherry and Ryan and Nainai. Is that right?
Nainai.
Nainai and
Datai.
Datai?
Mom and Dad.
They're the mom and dad of the church. And yeah, isn't that great? So anyway, I don't want to take any time up. So there you go.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Paul. Yes, just remember when you say Nanaimo, that means Nanai. Mom. That's end. Yeah. But yeah, because Pastor Scott is asking us earlier today if we are the pastors of Jesus is Lord Church, but we are not the pastors. We are the church contact person or church coordinators. And actually, the congregation calls us mom and dad. So we are their mom and dad here in Jesus is Lord Church, Ladysmith. So first, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to have the 2 testimonies out of 5. Maybe we can make it 7 to make up for the to make up for the 2 other testimonies. But thank you so much. We just can't contain our hearts. I think we've shared this before when we first were introduced here by Pastor Scott and the rest of the board members. And I just wanted to emphasize that through how God works in our lives. Because we started Jesus is Lord Church here in Ladysmith June 17, 2023, right? So we were going to a Duncan. That's our mother church. We go there every Sunday. And then we would drive there and then go back here. And then after a few years, our church leaders asked us that we should open the Jesus is Lord Church, Ladysmith. And at first, I was like, I only know 3 families here in Ladysmith, and I don't know like who would come in to have worship with us. And I was like, is it worth it, or is it really your plan? So, but I didn't say that to my leader. I just kept it in my mind. So I was just listening, and then they asked us to find a rental hall. And then I actually did not. I repented already. God knows my heart. I repented already. They were asking me, did you find a hall already? And I was like, no, there's no available hall. But I'm sorry, Lord. I repented already. Don't judge. No, just kidding. But kidding aside, truly, God's way, as Pastor said earlier, God's way is higher than our ways. Even if I did not do anything, if it's God's will to open His church here in Ladysmith, He will open it no matter I say yes or no. And so we found the hall. They found the hall. And then they broke the news that we're going to open. I was scared, to handle. I don't know. I'm a good worker, I know. But, handling the church, the ministry, the leading the people to worship and serve Him, I don't know if I can really be, if I'm the good person, if I am the right, we are the right person to represent Him to the people. But He did open Jesus is Lord Church June 17, 2023. So praise the Lord, because He really is, His plans is really higher than our plans. And His ways are higher than our ways. Sorry, I don't want to take 25 minutes. Hold on, I have a bullet here, so I don't go over time. Hold on. So we started June 17, 2023. We would bounce back from one hall to another, one hall to another. I think every hall here knows us because we rented. We were even looking for empty building or garage probably. So because sometimes it's Friday night and we don't know if we're going to hold our service for that Sunday. So it's really being a burden to us, but we're okay, we're just going to take the leap of faith. We're just going to do whatever God asked us to do. I don't want to be a Jonah anymore. I don't want to be disobedient anymore. I just want to obey. And then we just did what we have to do with our resources. So we would imagine we would bring all the drum set, the keyboards, all the equipment, projector, all the musical instruments into a hall. We'll set it up really early, and then we'll pack it up and then clean up after. And then we have to make sure that the hall is will be left clean after us. So it happened for a year and 8 months, I think, until God convicted me one Sunday service, because the children are being children. They are playing, they're kind of shouting, and the hall is just one fourth of this, or maybe so we're all together, and the kids were shouting and then playing, and then I shush them. I was like, shush, and then because I think they're distracting the pastor and the congregation. And then God convicted me right there and then that it is actually not their fault. They're just being kids. It's just the hall is not enough for you. This is not I think he did put a burden in my heart, to pray for a hall that has a room for kids. So just one room we were asking, because during summer we don't mind because we go out and then we just play outside and then we would sing and do all the kids stuff outside the hall. But during winter we can't do that because it's snowing and it's cold outside, so we have to stay inside. And then that burden started us to pray for a hall that has a space for kids. So we always do that, pray for a hall that, or a place that where we can have kids be ministered as well, right? That they would listen to the Bible stories and would sing songs, and they wouldn't be distracting the pastors and the congregation throughout the service. And then we were praying. We're like, okay, because we have called all the halls, all the buildings. Even the churches actually before we called, but it's not available. So one day we tried to called Ocean View Church. I think it's one of our management team that suggested us the Ocean View Church. And then I called, and then I asked for if I could talk to the pastor or whoever is in charge for the hall rentals. And then they said that he's on a meeting. And then I was like, okay, so maybe that's it. That's not a good sign, because the contact person is not available. So okay, so I was looking for the second hall or church that we're going to contact. And then after 30 minutes, I think, or less than an hour, I received a call from Pastor Scott, and then he spoke to me, and then he said, "Oh, are you Cherry? I was actually looking for you guys and wondering where are you guys." So that's so amazing, because I was like, because normally Filipino knows us, but from like Canadians and a pastor, like I never thought that they know that Jesus is Lord exists here in Ladysmith. So it was quite a bit of a surprise for me when I spoke to him over the phone. And then he said that, "I was wondering, where are you guys?" Because we're beginning. We're church plant. We're a mission church. So we don't have like a big flyers or we don't have a big congregation yet. So we're very like quiet and Filipino, mostly Filipino attendee. So I was so surprised when he said, "Oh, I was actually thinking about you guys, and for some reason I think God the Lord put in his heart that he should pray for and think about this church." And I actually started to like crying. I think you remember, but I can't speak because I was like, "Oh no!" I was like, "God really, really listens to our prayers," because we were actually what do you call this? I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry. I think you have to finish it, but. But I was just so amazed, because we've been praying for a long time, and you know the song Waymaker. Even if we don't see him, he's working. That song actually speaks to my mind right after that, because I don't see signs or like, you know, like, "Oh, I think this is a good sign." Like I think God is giving us a place for worship, like permanently, but I don't see and I don't feel anything that he's doing right there when we were praying for it. So when he said that he's actually praying and thinking about us as church, that really, really, God convicted me that, "Oh, you don't see me working, but I was actually working behind the scene." So praise the Lord for all the things he has done. And now we heard that this church is a generous church, actually, but we don't believe it until now. No, like seriously, for me, I don't speak for everybody, but I don't believe it until we get the chance to use this place, because you guys are so generous, more than what we expect and more than what we really, really imagine. Because first, the Ephesians 3:20 that he gave us, he really gave us the Ephesians 3:20. We just asked for one room for the kids, but he gave us the whole church and actually another family, extended family. So we are so thankful for all the things that he has given us. And truly, truly, he just did not give us generous church that would adopt us and help us grow our church and ministry here with you guys, but he gave us more than generous brethren who would help us fulfill the purpose that God has called us. So we thank you so much, and that is one of our testimonies for the Jesus is Lord Church, and we thank you so much for welcoming us and giving us a very, very warm welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to keep moving things along. Really appreciate God is at work, even when we don't see him. even when we don't think he is at work. Karen, you know, sometimes when you stand next to me and I say I need some help and you say yes. So, Karen, sure. Yes, you can. That's why that is there. You can sit on that.
You know, I wasn't nervous until I shouldn't have sat at the end of that row because with all the dancing, my heart's gone. So it hasn't made this too easy. So for those that don't know me, my name is Karen Love. And at one point in my life, of course, I had was praying to God greatly to bring someone into my life to love, and you gave me Mr. Love himself. So that's one thing he's done, which is wonderful. But I'm sorry to say that my story is not as great as and wide as both of what we've heard so far. It's I don't know why, but my life would be mostly internal, and I didn't make any notes because I started to, and I haven't enough paper at home, let's put it that way. I'm 77, born in Victoria, BC. When I was very, very young, my mother was institutionalized with mental illness. And I don't know what went on beforehand as she was getting sick, but whatever happened, this really hit me very, very hard. When they came to pick her up, I do remember this, hiding behind my grandmother's skirt on the front porch, as the nurses came and the doctor, and they took her out into a black car. And I can actually even hear the squeak of the nurse's shoes on the pavement because my mother tried to run away. So not only did I feel complete separation at that time, because of her running away and they chasing her, and it seemed that this is what was the right thing, that they take her away, that I felt shame for my mother that she ran away. And I know I was way too young to be aware of what that felt like. So that combination put me into, I put myself in prison. Whoever, I became very aware that we are of two, physical and spiritual. That spiritual part of me was gone, in prison, in as deep as it could go within myself. So after that, everything, absolutely everything in my life has been, I'll tell you some of the stories, has been all to open that place so that I can come out and be whole. And it was also compounded because my father, of course, in those days, mental illness was not part of the medical system, so he was never there because he had to work. My grandmother came for a while, but then she had to live her life, so getting attached to my grandmother, then she left. And then, so this all continued, and mother did come home a few times, but she was not the person that left the house. She was completely not the person that I knew and loved, so she was completely out of my life. I will admit that I had a dream right from that time up to about 16 years old, and it was... I made a very long poem called The Wet Pillow because I woke up crying every time. And it basically was my mother and I walking and then our hands would separate and then that was it. I would wake up in tears. And so anyways, that's I didn't know that I was not in a happy childhood. I mean, because I did everything that every other child did. It's just that I had no real joy in my heart. The first time that I really saw and appreciated a rainbow, I had not read the Bible or anything. I saw this rainbow, and my goodness, it filled me with such a sense of joy. I knew that it was available in here somewhere, but I just didn't live it. I just didn't know it. And until, of course, I read the Bible later, and that's exactly the joy of it is because it's God's covenant. And that just felt so special when he let me see that and feel it. And so now we go on, and my sister, I'm what, I guess about 13 or 14, my sister gets institutionalized with mental illness. Now, she was 1 year older than I was, so we grew up sort of like this, you know, bathing together and all that sort of stuff. So very close. So again, bang, that's what I mean by being very, very it just kept compressing and compressing. And so then as I grew up, I ended up getting married very young because, of course, I wanted out of the situation I was in. So I married very young. And we did that in those days, by the way. It wasn't just me. Everybody did that, especially from a small town, which, of course, in those days, Victoria would be a small town. And had my first child 1 month after I turned 18. So I started young, had four beautiful children, of course, all from God. didn't know what love was, so I can't say that I loved my husband. It was a very bad marriage in the sense he was never physical, but he was verbally very suppressing. And of course, because of my experience of life, I was very, very horribly condemned, allowed the devil's voice to be very loud in my head, as in, you're not worthy, you're not this, you're not that, da-da-da-da. And so, again, as I say, God has broken all of those things in my life. So I have my four beautiful babies. I don't love my husband. He's makes things worse all the time. I left after about 10 years. I left my situation. I left my children. I have to admit that at each birth, I had no connection with each child. I'm not saying that it's not there now, but at the time of birth, it was not there, which gives you the mother total instinct of care and love. And it's not that I didn't love my children. I did, but of course, I couldn't get to it. It was just so compressed within me. So I left, and because it was absolutely impossible for me to stay, it took me about 5 years to make that move. I'm not proud of it, but it was done. And of course, if you have to remember also, the timing was right when it was all, everything broke. Everything, no longer did men wear hats, you know, everybody grew their hair out this big. Everything was changed. And so I became a part of that, and I have to admit, okay, I became, I guess the best way to say it is the devil of the daughter's devil, because of course I was out there, I did all the freedoms that was opened up for the world at that time, and, but you know, all through this, God was always there, absolutely always. I have to go back to when I was six, and I remember my best girlfriend at the time lived across the street. I went to play with her one day, and she had found a new friend. And because rejection and I didn't go very well together because of my experiences, I pushed her down, and I jumped on her as hard as I could with the purpose of killing her. And I was, once I did that, then I don't even think I looked to see if she was okay. I don't really remember. I just remember that not only the fear, that the fact that not I could be a killer, human beings can be killers. That was just struck me to the depth. I went home and sat on my bed. So remember, there's nobody around for any advice and all that stuff, because at home, we sort of just, my two sisters and I sort of just, you just hung and did whatever you did. I was sitting on my bed, and you don't see it, but I felt God come and sit beside me. And he, no words were said, but he appeased my soul, and he unwrapped all of the things that I was so confused about over that issue, and it was just wonderful. And he's done that many times in my life, because I basically have lived a life of confusion for quite a while. But don't worry, I'm pretty smart. once he broke all the bridges. And so at one, here I'm living the life of all the things that God does not want you to be. I certainly was not hurting people, but I was hurting myself, making all the wrong decisions. And one day I sort of woke up and understood that I needed to start making better decisions. So I got onto that road, and it was quite wonderful. I ended up, I'm about 38 years old now, and I still am not a Christian, but I ended up going to university. And I found at university that I was actually quite smart, and which was really neat, right? Maybe not, I was a really slow learner, but street smarts I was, and now I found out that I was intellectually smart, so that really made me feel better. So my self-worth was rising, which was wonderful. So then I went on to do a master's degree, and you know, the whole time I kept saying, oh, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. He let me have what my dream was. And also, like before, I went as far as I could go down. So that's one of the things that's God. I needed to play this out is what it is, because I'm such a doubting Thomas at the time, and on and on and on. I needed to actually sense and feel and know myself. That's how I've come to understand what my whole road was. So I'm at doing my master's in Montreal, which was a lovely city to be in. And my I had two daughters and I had two sons. My first son, excuse me, I'm getting a bit dry. I'm at there doing whatever, and I get the call that he and my other son are in a car accident. They are young men, about 19 and 20 or 21, and they were out having a few beer, out driving in the, because they lived in Ladysmith at the time, and so they were out driving the hills without any insurance or anything, running as fast as they could in the car, and of course it crashes, rolls over 9 times. My one son had his hand and his head out the window as the cab crushes. My other son is caught in that piece, so that he really wasn't hurt. Sorry. So Gary ended up being a quadriplegic. I was so, to me, that just cut me right at my knees. It stopped me in my place, cut me at my knees, and I just crumbled. Because to survive in the world out there without Christ, then what you do is you build your sense of pride of self, because that's what, and try to be as strong as you can be. And so I got cut, I'm down, and it was after that that I became very, very, very gentle with myself, because I couldn't talk to myself as I had before, as in, oh, you're stupid, you can't do this, you shouldn't do that, you're da-da-da. I had to be very gentle and say, it's okay, just settle, it's okay, it's okay. Because the pain, every time you get a pain over a pain over a pain, it's humongous. I don't know how else to explain that. And there was a lot of tears, there was a lot of a lot of changes in my life. I was came here, it was in Vancouver where he was, and he was there for quite a while, learning how to live this life of being a quadriplegic. And so I was with him for a while, and then of course I went back to Montreal to finish my master's degree, because at one point, you know, my son turned to me and said, Mom, why don't you go back? He says, I'm fine. I'm busy doing what I'm doing. I couldn't visit with him that much because he was very busy with what he was doing. And that, of course, made me feel really, really good. So that was really interesting. And that experience, because of that extra depth of pain that I experienced and because of being so humbled, broke that whole dam that had been built and built and built and built so that I wouldn't feel any pain. I need to say that in and through that time, I did have relationships and friends. I never got serious about anything. If you put anything in here that said commitment, I'm gone totally the other way, because I, you know, it's no way, it's too painful. Not only did I stayed as far away from people as I could, and I became, but I'm that type of a person that can easily keep myself busy, so it didn't seem like such a great sacrifice. But anyways, what was I saying? Yes, okay. See, there's too many things. 2 minutes, okay. So, all right, so my son is there, and when I came back from Montreal after I was finished that, I couldn't get home in time because I didn't have any money, because I'm a trust God on everything. So payday to payday girl, and I still am, and he just is so wonderful. So then I come back, and I miss my mother's death. Her and I spoke on the phone quite a bit. I had, at 30, went to my mother to tell her how much I loved her after I'd hated her for so many years, and that was quite wonderful. But okay, now we're here, and I'm here for the funeral, and my son, he said to me, he says, you know, Mom, he's, and I was so sad I wasn't there for her death, and he says, you know, Mom, that's the first time, my son was, he says, Mom, that's the first time I've ever felt, I felt like a man since the accident. And when he said that, anyways, there's one thing I have to really tell you. Okay, so then after all that pain, blah, 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 on to another one. My young son now, he's in 30, he's committed for mental illness, and that was absolutely very, very difficult for me. I couldn't hardly even face it. Can I have just a second more after that? Because it's a really good story. Okay, now, now my son's there, and it was horrible, and but I want really to tell you what God did for me, okay? And so what that was is was working, so I couldn't, of course you can't go to the hospital right away anyway, so I went to work. And after, when I got out of the car, I had this millstone around my waist, and it was it was there. Like, what could I know? I couldn't see it, but oh my God, I could feel it. Like at coffee time at work on the chair, I'd be going like this, because, I mean, I couldn't sit straight because I had this big millstone around. It's quite funny, but it's true. That was with me for about 3 days. And then one night, about 3 days later, I'm having supper by myself, and I'm sitting at my table in the corner right there, and God's hand came out of the corner of the wall, and with it, he came and he put down this beautiful, beautiful blown glass. He put one down for my mother. He put one down for my son. He put one down for my sister, my son, and a fourth one down for my young son. And they were so beautiful, I was like, and then he said, I take care of these people. And then everything disappeared. The milestone went. I tell you, I was able to go and visit my sister and actually physically kiss her on the cheek. Believe it or not, I wouldn't even have been able to get that close before. And ever since then, I've become a Christian. Oh, no, that was after I became a Christian. Sorry, you see, there's too much to say. But he has been so gracious to me, God. He's just shown me. I'm an artist. He's given me visions on and off and around and up and down. And I just love the Lord with all of my heart because he's forgiven me. He gave me all the ways to find him. And he's so patient with someone like me. Thank you so much.
I know if I didn't come up here, there's just so much. it's good. So I have Erwin and Juvie are going to come, and they're going to share as well. So come on up. Ah, here's Erwin.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Jovi, and this is my husband, Erwin, with my two kids. We are here standing before you to share how God's great faithfulness to our lives. We came in Canada August of year 2020. I was then 7 months pregnant. We came from Kuwait. We worked there for almost 10 years. So pandemic hits. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of changes to our plans going back for coming here. So for in pandemic, we stopped working for 5 months. No pay, no work. But bills continues to need to pay. So when we were traveling, I was 7 months pregnant then. Traveling 1,000 miles and a quite few stopover, being a pregnant is not so easy. I pray to God that I will not deliver in the plane. But God has always been there for us. His divine protection and traveling mercy we felt throughout our journey. Even in the immigration, we are so smooth. There's no any more questions because we heard that if you are pregnant, if in the immigration, they will question you how much money do you have, are you able to pay in these things if you will arrive in Canada. But glory to God, our travel was very smooth. We arrived here in Canada not knowing what is waiting for us, but we pray to God that He will give us and surround us with a godly people. That is what we are praying for. We don't have any relatives here in Canada. We're just a new couple that trying to build a family in a new place. But God gave us a lot of people, a Filipino community people, a godly people, a prayer warrior people. And few weeks after, we went for a prenatal checkup as I need to go through. everything went well until we learned that our MSP, or the insurance, will be activated of November 1st. But then I was 7 months pregnant, so my due date was October of last week. So the doctor told me that if you will deliver it by August of last week, we learned the amount of $25,000. And that very moment, we are very startled. Lord, how come? Lord, well, we're going to get a $25,000. We even came here with only $400 in our pocket. And then, God is so good. Even to the doctors, we are so blessed. Any mother here that knows any process, any medical that they need to do to the pregnant, they did not do it to me. It's because maybe if they will do it to me, I will give birth. So they wait until it's November. And then, now it came November 1st. We are so happy. I even do now cleaning our bathroom because it's already almost it's overdue. It's because my due date is last week of October and it's November came. But before that's October, I always talk to my baby, don't come out yet. Maybe don't come out yet because we don't have 25,000. But prayer are still there. We keep on praying to God. Our faith, that's what the God put us, that we always meditate the word, that of course the song, that God will make a way. Even when it seems there be no way, God will make a way. So November 1st came. Oh, it's time for me to clean the bathroom now. And then November 4, I give birth our firstborn. We name him Zion. From 25,000 bills, God make it zero bills. Glory to God.
God is so great because my first plan at that time is to have a placard. And beg outside the hospital, I need 25,000 for my baby Zion. But he is really great, and he's really merciful to those who believe, who have faith in him, that he will surely answer all of our prayers. Just believe in him. So right after that MSP, we came in to have a contract of every 2 years. You have to renew our, especially we are on the work permit right now, and every 2 years we have to process a new paper. And then suddenly the IRCC strikes a new laws, a new things, and then first renewal is only 6 months, and we got a new work permit. And now it, because of the new laws, we're still praying for a new work permit that we have to receive. And then suddenly, August has been expired. Now it's March, and it's already almost 9 months. And just like being pregnant, maybe she delivers already another work permit. Then just like last week, me and my son, before we sleep, pray for it. Lord, I know and we believe that this month, we will receive our papers. Then right after Sunday, it comes to Monday, and I receive an email. Your work permit has been approved. See, this is the goodness of God. It's not our might, it's not our power. But if you will pray for it, sincerely pray for it, and worshiping with spirit and truth, it will happen. As I have said, this month, you know what's the date being approved? It's on the first of this month, April 1. And then sent the email and asked, and after a week, as we have said, Lord, at this right this very month, and April 1 is the first day of the month, and it happens. See His goodness, see His greatness. So I just at this very time, we always said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Right? So from the start of 2020 until now, we are sincerely and wholeheartedly serving the Lord. And we know, and every day we declare that Jesus is Lord, is over our family. And we encourage everyone to say this: Jesus is Lord over our family. Jesus is Lord over our community. Jesus is Lord all over the world. So I will encourage everyone to testify to each and every member of your family, even neighborhood, and even our Facebook account, so everyone can be reached by the word of God, even to the last ages, even when Jesus comes back again on His second coming. So all glory belongs to the Lord, and thanks be to God for everything that He has done for every family, especially to us.
Thank you. I know that as maybe you drive by the church on a Sunday night and you see the cars here, you know, a prayer you could pray is that many, many of those who attend are on these temporary visas and they're looking to be permanent. And you can pray for visas to come and permanent residence can happen here. All right, can you hold with me for one more testimony? Yeah? All right, good. Here she comes, Linda.
I'll try and be quick.
Just be.
My husband said, well, when you get up there, you should probably do a joke. Well, I don't do jokes. But I do have one, and it says, what did one hat say to the other hat? I'm going on ahead. I know. It's all I got. That's all I got. And the only thing about that I like is that Jesus goes ahead of us. And that He says, come follow me. And I'm so thankful that He said that to me one day. My name's Linda Haynes, and my husband is Lorne. We moved to this area about 4 years ago, and then we started attending this church. My parents had a great deal of issues and problems. When I left home, I believed that every hurt and wound would be left behind. That I've left the situation, it's all behind me, right? But it wasn't. Little did I realize that I had a weight of baggage, and I was carrying this weight, and I also had an orphan heart that had developed over so many years. At the age of 21, while traveling on a bus from Vancouver to Williams Lake, a young man named John sat down beside me and started sharing Jesus with me. Many hours later, back then it was a good 10-hour bus ride, I looked out of the window into the black of night and could see my reflection in the window. And with tears rolling down my face, I prayed. I never had prayed, well, I kind of had, but I prayed and asked Jesus into my broken life and heart and to forgive me for my many, many, many sins. When the bus arrived in Williams Lake, I walked home to the apartment where my boyfriend and I were living. A few months later, we were married, but were unequally yoked together. But that was a concept that I didn't understand that. I wouldn't even think about that. A few months later, I just said that already. Within a few months, I started to attend a church called Caribou Bethel Church, where I was baptized. I deeply, deeply desired to follow Jesus. I'd never, ever had experienced love like that. For someone to love me, to accept me, it just was a foreign concept for me. But my husband enjoyed his wine, women, and song. We had 3 children together and were married for 12 years prior to our divorce. After being a single parent for 4 years, I met Lorne at Nest Lake Family Bible Camp in Prince George, and we were married 7 months later. Between the two of us, we had 5 children, and at that time, they were in grades 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And we both worked full-time, because of course, when we got married, we were both broke. And we recently celebrated our 37th anniversary. So there's hope, you see. During those first 4 years of our marriage, our 12-year-old son, Mark, was diagnosed with cancer at Children's Hospital, and the doctor did surgery to remove his leg. He has now been cancer-free since that time. He's now 44 years old and married with his wife with 2 sons of his own, and they live in Victoria, and we see them 3 or 4 times a year, I guess. Shortly after Mark and Lorne got back from being at Children's Hospital for 6 months, our 14-year-old daughter became pregnant with our first grandchild, and he now is 30 years old. And if you got room on your prayer list, he's still into drugs, and he overdosed and died, but they brought him back. So it's just been hard. Anyway, my favorite Bible verse is Isaiah 61:1-3. And if you're sitting here today and you wonder if God can accept you or love you or fix you up, or, you know, if he could do it for me, he can do it for you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release me from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. And I had many, many ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And I have spent many days, weeks, and years in the carpenter shop, so to speak. And he's chiseled away at me and chiseled away at me. And the great physician, Jesus Christ. And I continue to visit the carpenter shop on a continual basis, because we're never perfect till we get there, right? And Jesus has taught me to travel light as he and I journey this life together. And you know, he knows what each one of us needs. He healed my orphan heart with his love, kindness, and acceptance. And consequently, I have a father who deeply loves me. And you know, that's pretty special to me. And I have a family, which is very special to me. I was a single child. And you know, I have a special friend here today too, Mita, and I want to thank you for coming and listening to me. And so she's part of my family too. So all of you are my family, because he has set me free. He released me from my darkness. He comforted me in pain and mourning. He gave me a crown of beauty for all of my many ashes, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that I may display his splendor. So I give God all the praise and glory, for it is only because of him and his spirit in me, working in me, that has kept me through the days, weeks, and years of my life. And to him I give all the praise and glory and say praise the Lord. So if any of you are mourning, sick, physically, mentally, emotionally, he's there. And you know, he said to the disciples, he said, pick up all the pieces of bread, that nothing be wasted. And you know, God will not waste anything in my life, and he won't waste anything in your life. Just come to him. Follow him. Thank you.
question that was asked when Jesus comes into Jerusalem is, who is this man? Who is this? And I think today we have heard who this is. It's Jesus. And he does great and mighty things. Amen? Amen.